As I mentioned before, we had Dr. Okari on last week just talking about how physicians are dealing with COVID-19 on the front lines. He gave us some startling, I thought some startling stuff about how many tests they have and making sure that they had to be very judicious. They had 15 tests that they're working on. This was right before we heard from the president on Friday about, just what they were doing to expedite testing and things of that nature. So I thought it'd be great to check in again with Dr. Kari, who is on the line with us now. His practice it's called Innovative Express Care. It's on Ashland in Lakeview. Dr. Kari, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about today, because we talked on Thursday and you gave us an idea that you guys were kind of overrun with a lot of patients coming in because of influenza and now because of COVID-19. We talked, 4 or 5 days ago. How has the story progressed since then?
Well, we're getting more tests, which I'm really happy about. We have a huge amount of what I call worried well. People with sore throats and coughs and are, for lack of a better word, just freaking out. Like their anxiety is taking over. And, as an urgent care, we take care of the worried well a lot. So we've set up a way to do a telemedicine visit with me or one of my colleagues, one of our providers, to ask the CDC questions, ask them what's going on, and then make a judgment call on whether we want them to actually come in to get the test or not.
And they accept they accept that?
Oh, yeah. They love it. And in fact, they're just appreciative that they get to talk to someone, because I think they're reading a lot or watching a lot, but they can't interact with people with a professional and say, hey, man, I've had this cough. I went to Indiana. Am I at risk? And I'm just like, no, you really don't have a fever. You don't have any shortness of breath. And when you tell them data, like 70% of people with COVID-19 have high fevers of 101 or higher continuously, and they're short of breath. And, then they just feel, oh, yeah, I don't have that. I feel relieved. So we've seen 110 people through telemedicine.
Wow.
That we've screened in the last 3 days. And of those, I've sent in to get tested 10 patients. And then of those 10 patients, 4 of them had influenza, right? And so we stopped testing because the CDC recommends if you have influenza to stop, because having both COVID and influenza is rare, is pretty rare. It does happen, but rare. So we stopped there. And then of the 6 patients, we've had around 4 results come back, a couple more pending, but those have been negative. So far we're screening out and we feel good about it.
Yeah. When you talk about screening and then bringing people in and the test results, take us through that process. I mean, you keep seeing these numbers double and numbers go up. Are you seeing that you're putting tests to patients and they're coming back positive for COVID-19?
No, luckily, not yet. We have had 0 positives. A neighboring hospital of mine, Illinois Masonic, which I am also an emergency physician at, they've had 1 positive so far, and he was just discharged from the hospital. So, I mean, this is good news. However, it's like looking over your shoulder and seeing a huge tidal wave coming. You know it's coming. You know the numbers are going to grow. We've seen it in all the countries that we've talked about. So I think it's great news. But again, we're limited in the number of tests we're doing. It's early on in what we're going through.
For you to be, we also talked about making sure that you're protected, your staff, everybody at the urgent care, because we've seen these stories about people running out of supplies and things like that. How are you and both at the hospital and both at your urgent care doing with making sure you guys are protected?
Yeah, well, we're using the CDC guidelines of protecting ourselves with disposable, gowns. We have our masks that are N95 for patients that may have it, and then we put goggles on. We throw away most of that stuff. We leave the goggles and the mask on because we don't have enough masks, truthfully. But we're making do, and so far so good. But it is scary because we know that a certain percentage of us are going to get COVID-19, that's scary to all of us.
Yeah. Dr. Kari is a physician in urgent care at Innovative Express Care in Lakeview. He's also, as you mentioned, Illinois Masonic. He's an emergency physician there. I'm going to ask Marlene is on the line. She's got a question for you, Dr. Kari. Let's bring her in.
Sure.
Marlene, what's your question?
Hello, thank you. Well, it's a small apartment, three people, seniors, 70 and 80. One's in a wheelchair, one's just recovering, getting over cancer surgery, just out of radiation for a couple of weeks, and the spleen was removed among the colon and stomach and things. So the person who's living with, you know, is 40s, in his 40s, is basically caretaker in terms of going out to the Jewel and it's being exposed. What if that person becomes ill? That person cannot stay in the house, or we cannot stay in the house, or and they don't have, you know, you go to a hotel, motel, it's hundreds of dollars to do something if they even accept you. So what about people who are compromised, like even with AIDS, one partner has it, one doesn't, and one gets sick. Yeah. What will you do?
So what do you do? So I guess the question is, if somebody you're cohabitating with gets mm-hmm. sick, what's the rules for isolation?
Sick people are not the seniors yet. They don't want to get sick.
Right.
The well person contacted it on the outside.
Okay, let's Dr. Carr, what do you think?
Yeah, this is a tough situation, right? I mean, you have to do what's safest for the group. And right now, the elderly are at risk, right? The person without a spleen is at risk is a little immunocompromised. So we need to make sure that they're safe. And so you have to take the person who may have been exposed or who may be getting sick, and you really have to isolate them away from people who are elderly, because those are the ones we know, based on the percentage of mortality rates, are the ones at risk. So you have to remove someone who's sick from the household, especially when you have patients that are over 70 years old, because those are the ones we're really worried about. So they should get on isolation. And it's tough. You're right. Right now there's hotels and Airbnbs that are $40-$50 a night, but this might change as more people get an idea of isolation from their family if they get sick.
I was going to say, I don't even know how I would do that. If I got sick and I had COVID-19 and I live in a townhome in Chicago, I don't even know how I would isolate to not get someone else in my family sick.
Well, I mean, I'll give you a good example, and that's me. I'm going to be hopefully working in a tent 12 hours a day, doing what I do best. But I think I, in a week, will quarantine myself from my three children and wife. Why put them at risk? And I probably will get a $40-$50 place within a mile of the clinic, so I can go there. And I think that's fair to do if you know that you're high risk of getting it, or you want to really keep your loved ones safe. That might have to happen. But the most important thing, it's not for everyone to go get a room, right? The most important thing is to isolate yourself as a family and to wash your hands every time you come in, and to just be very careful about not going. Like my kids asked me today, Dad, can I go out? My friends are spending the night. And it's like, whoa, this is a different world we're living in.
Yeah, right.
And I need to talk to your wife, talk to your mom, my wife, to really figure out what we're going to do. And so we're having these difficult conversations where my kids just want to hang out with their friends. And my other son's like, can I play basketball? And I'm just like, whoa, that's beating on people. And so we're in a different world, and there's things you have to think about. But you have to, my hope is 2 months, we're going to be done with this. So can we sacrifice ourselves with isolation and using technology to be with friends? That's the kind of things that we have to think about.
Dr. Carr, when you see the governor or the president or any of our leaders step up and make drastic decisions like closing restaurants and bars or schools or limiting groups of more than 10 people, should that be a cue to us that we're getting into the thick of this, that this is the time, this is the moment for the United States of America?
Yes, I think so, because I think they're actually following some guidelines and looking at and listening to the experts who have studied this that's happened in around the planet. So I think anything we can do to bend the curve and to isolate ourselves is really important. I never think it's never too early. We are getting increasing cases. My hope is that they don't go alarmingly up, but I think it is alarming. But there is good reasons for it. There is science behind it. It's not a political issue that they're closing these things down. Nobody wants to stop the economy, like nobody does, especially small businesses. And unfortunately, there's going to be a huge sacrifice that's going to happen. Yeah. But I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay, one more question. I want to bring Mary in. Mary, welcome to the program. Dr. Kari's on the line. What's your question?
Hi, doctor. I'm calling from just outside of Annapolis, Maryland. I live on the East Coast, and a couple of years ago, I was bitten by a tick and contracted Lyme disease. Now, my symptoms have been in remission, but I'm wondering now, with this coronavirus, am I considered at higher risk?
Good question. Thanks, Mayor.
So, yeah, that's a great question, and I think the answer is no. However, I say that with a however because this virus is very different and it's very alarming in the fact that, you know, it's interesting that kids don't get very sick from the virus. They contract the virus, but the mortality rate is as much as like influenza. It's very low. So the question is what's going on? And so what we're thinking is that when the virus gets in adults, we mount a huge response, a hyper response to this virus that causes inflammation in the lungs and shortness of breath and pneumonia on top of that. So with people with autoimmune disorders, I would say the one thing I would be careful about is your immune response is different. And my hope is it has nothing to do with the coronavirus or any part of it. I think people with autoimmune disorders, which Lyme disease is one of them, is not going to be, it's not going to be worse with the coronavirus. But time will tell. We're still learning more and more about it. But I do not really feel that you're at a higher risk of developing worsening symptoms because of your autoimmune disorder.
There you go. Dr. Okari is a doctor at Innovative Express Care. He runs that urgent care, which is up on Ashland, 2400 Ashland in Lakeview. He also is an emergency room physician at Illinois Masonic. And he joins us here on the program. Dr. Kari, I can't thank you enough for checking in. I'd love to be able to check in with you later. I think you're a service to our listeners here at WGN, so I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.